We're going to pray and go ahead and get started. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. This is the day that you've made and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Father. Father, we thank you that you open eyes that we see, our ears that we hear, and give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Last week we was still on the apostolic anointing. I had given you 10 things that duties executed by the apostles. I have 5 more for you this week. I always give you those first, and then we'll go on with the lesson. Last week, I just called the ones I gave you the first 2 weeks. Number one was together. Number two was to impart. Number three was to mobilize. Number four was to order. Number five is to judge. Number six is to reform. Number seven is to build. Number eight is to bring revelation. Number nine is to father. And number 10 is to lay a foundation. The 5 I'm going to give you this week is number 11 would be to initiate. Apostles initiate new moves of God. The apostolic anointing is an activating anointing. Apostles are catalysts. That means they get things moving. They're the one who starts things to move. This gift helps release the other gifts in the church. Number 12 is to bridge. Apostles are raised up during seasons of transition. They provide bridges necessary for the church to transition from the old to the new. In our case, what we are doing now, we're setting up God's government. In order for us to do that, we had to have an apostle in place for this transition to take place. As the Word of God says, we cannot put new wine in old wine skins, so we are having a whole paradigm shift in the way the church is being governed. And as we are setting up this government, as the apostles in his place, then what happened as God's government is in place, then we begin to see these supernatural acts that the church, that the Bible shows us the church should be performing. Number 13 is to establish. Apostles help establish truth, revelation, churches, and new moves of the Spirit. To establish means to bring into being on a firm or permanent basis. Let me reread that again. The apostles to establish. That's one of the duties they execute. Apostles help establish truth, revelation, churches, and new moves of the Spirit. To establish means to bring into being on a firm or permanent basis. The next one is to pioneer. Apostles are pioneers. They keep the church moving into new territories, both naturally and spiritually. And number 15 is to legislate. L-E-G-I-S-L-A-T-E, to legislate. As the officers of the church, apostles legislate. They issue orders and kingdom decrees for the church. And like I said before this semester is over, I will have this up on the internet. That way you can, I'll give them to you individually, but you'll be able to go in and print it out if you want to have it for yourself, and the explanation of each one of these duties that's executed by the apostle. Amen. Let's go on to our lesson where we left off from last week. And we was talking about the apostles, and we was in this apostolic anointing. I was giving you some pointers last week, and the last one I think we left off with, the apostles' worship and supernatural activity are priorities in the environment of the apostolic and the lifestyle of the saints because God's presence is top priority. And I gave you that. I went over to showed you the example in Exodus 33. We read that scripture over there, so you can go back and see it for yourself. God's presence is top priority, because the apostles understand that when God's presence shows up, there are five things that that I have listed that happens. God's protection shows up. God's provision shows up. God's power shows up. God's plan shows up. And God's purpose just shows up. So when he shows up in his presence, these are the things that you can look to see during God's presence. So that's why it's important. Worship and supernatural activity are priorities in the environment and the lifestyle of the saints, because God's presence is the top priority. In this apostolic anointing, the saints are sent as Jesus was sent to destroy the works of the devil, including diseases, sickness, and affliction. Turn to 1 John 3. Looking at verse 8, 1 John 3 and 8, he said, "He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So that was one of his main goals when he came to the earth, was to destroy the works of the devil. And so he also told us that the works that he do, shall we do also, and greater works. And that's because he went to the Father. So he sent back a helper that we can do the same thing. And so in order for us to do that, he was our example. He was sent from the Father to do these works. So we are being sent also. In Mark chapter 16, one of the things he sent us, we got a commission that we can go and do the exact same things. Turn to Mark. So we as the body of Christ are also being sent, as we have been, as we are trained in this apostolic anointing. And we understand that the works that he did, remember Mark 4 and 11, Ephesians 4 and 11, what it says, that he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, building up of the body of Christ. Every time that we bring someone into the kingdom, we are building up the body of Christ. Every time we get someone saved, it comes into the kingdom. That means that the kingdom is being increased, is being built up. Part of our duty is to bring people into the kingdom. Mark 6 and 15 says, "And he said unto them," he said, he was talking to the apostles, but again, we remember what it says. It says, built up on the foundation. Ephesians 2 and 11, 2:20, 19 and 20 says, it's built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So he gave it to the apostles, and just like he gave it to the apostles, he's giving us the same commission to go forth and do the same thing. So we are being sent. And when someone is sent, you go with authority, the same authority and power that that individual has in them. We have that same power and authority. Here in Luke 6, 16 and 15, it says, "And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the good news to every creature." Preach the gospel. Gospel is good news. Preach the good news. Good news is what Jesus did on the cross. The good news is what he took away from me. He took every sin that I had ever committed. He was wounded for my transgressions. We go into the world and preach this good news to every creature. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs should follow them that believe. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's a commission. God has sent us. We have that commission. That's God's word. So James, turn to James real quick, and then we'll turn back and we'll see some James chapter 1. Looking at verse 22, James chapter 1, 22, it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. It's a deceiving your own selves. He said, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, he goes his way and straightway forget what manner of man he is. So James, Apostle James is saying, if we hear something, then we have to do it. We have to practice what we hear. If we're not doing it, then we're going to forget that which God told us to do, that we can are able to do that. And so he said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So we who are in this faith movement, we thank God give us all this faith for us to go out and name it and claim it for ourselves. But he's given it to us so that we can go out and bring people into the kingdom for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the build up the body. And so what we do as we hear this word, and we get so much word, and we get fat on the word. So you know what happens when you get fat? You get lazy, and you want to just lay around and do absolutely nothing. And so that's God said, you got to be a doer. If I give you this word, and if I tell you something, then you have to go out and do that which I tell you to do. And so we've been commissioned. We've been sent by Almighty God himself. Was Jesus say, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So, and that's part of what we are to do. Amen. The saints live to demonstrate to all the people on earth that God is always the good guy and the devil is always the bad guy. So God is always good. When God told Moses that he was going to show Moses actually show him his glory, and God said that my goodness, God is a good God. Only thing that's in God is good. And so we are to let everybody know how good God is. God has been given this image that he's vengeful, he's hateful, he's destructive, but God is always good. And so we are to show the world that God is always good. When Jesus came to the earth, one of the things he was teaching about the kingdom. Our apostles beginning to teach us about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven and our authority as believers in the kingdom. And he gave us a awesome revelation. And if you get this revelation, what would happen is your life will change forever for the better. And one of the things he said, he was talking about when Adam was in the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden, he said, is not so much as a place, but a position. And that means that the position that God put us in as believers brought us right back to the Garden of Eden through Jesus, what Jesus did for us. And so what the authority that Adam had in the Garden of Eden, turn to Genesis, and you'll see what authority he had. Since we're talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is where God sits on the throne. That's the first thing. We have to know that. That's the top of the rule. That's the place, the kingdom of heaven. Then we talk about the kingdom of God, which is a position. And so we're going to see in Scripture, we're going to set it up for you so you can see that. Over in Genesis, one of my meditation scriptures, I basically read it ever since I began to see it. Genesis 1:26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. He said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth up on the earth. So he put in us, when he created us like him in his image. Adam gave that away, but Jesus came back and he brought our dominion back through Jesus Christ. And so we have our dominion back. And so we're back in God's image. And so the things that God did and created us to do, we should be able to do if we get a revelation of who we are and our authority in the kingdom of God. So now here is, it said, the kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the church is to be a place of exceeding abundant joy. Sometimes we get an idea of what the kingdom of God should look like. Turn to the book of Luke. Luke 17. Looking at verse 20, 17 and 20. It says, and when he demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. That means that I can't see it. That means I can't feel it. That means I can't touch it. So it comes not with observation. We don't see it with our five senses, but we know it within our spirit. And so if we know it within our spirit, then we have a revelation. We have a revelation that we are in the kingdom. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So the kingdom of God is the place that God put us back. In the Garden of Eden, that's where Adam was when he was in the garden. He had dominion. He was subduing all creatures. And so God said, now, when Jesus came back, he put that kingdom in us, and we walk around with the kingdom of God within us. And so, again, it only comes by revelation. If you don't understand that the kingdom of God is within you, and have a revelation of that. If you want to have revelation of that kingdom that's within you, begin to pray that prayer over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, that the God of our Lord, Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, was given to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in this kingdom. And once you begin to pray, you'll be surprised how fast that revelation, how fast God will reveal that to you if you ask him to help you and do that. Begin to pray those prayers. Turn to Luke 18. I just was at 18. At 17. Turn to 18. And as we begin to talk about this kingdom of God. And again, I begin to seek the Holy Spirit on this situation, on the kingdom itself, and reveal the kingdom to me. And one of the scriptures he gave me was over in Luke chapter 18. And he showed it to me this way, Luke 18 and 15. And it reads this way. And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto them, him, and said, he said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. He said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." So when we go in with our preconceived notions of what the kingdom is, then he said you cannot enter in, because you already have an idea. You say, I know what the kingdom is. And I know I go to church, I do my duties in church, I have my men day on Sunday, my ladies day on Sunday, and I'm in the kingdom. God said you have to be just like a little child when you come into the kingdom. That means that you have to be led by the Spirit of God. If you're not being led, that means that you're out on your own. And when he showed me that, he took me over to Romans chapter 8. And we can go over there and see that also. Romans chapter 8. Since the Holy Spirit is the executor in the kingdom, then he's the one who's going to have to direct us and lead us and show us this kingdom. And so, again, we have a right to ask him. 8 and 14, Romans 8, 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons." One of our meditation scriptures. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you also receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The kingdom is within us. It says that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So since we are children of God, children normally obey their parents. And so if we are like children, then we're going to obey what God tells us to do. If he says sit here, then we should sit there. If he says, "I'm going to build my kingdom back on the earth, this is where I want my kingdom established. I want my apostles in place. I want my prophets in place. And so that's my government. That's where I set my government up." And so if we're going to do that, then as the Spirit will lead us, that's along the line we're going to follow. And it says also in that 16, it says, and the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So what he's doing, he's saying he will also bear witness with our spirit that what we're doing is what God wants us to do. If it's not what he wants us to do, then we're going to get a scratching in our spirit. You're going the wrong way. If you're listening, if you're in tune to the Holy Spirit, he's going to let you know that you're not going the right way. And it's not going to be at an ease. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy. My burdens are light." So that means that whatever he tells you to do, it's going to be easy for you to do. But if you're having a hard time with it, that means that I'm not really listening to the Spirit of God. I'm doing my own thing. And so now it becomes a burden to me. It goes on to say here in, it says 15, it says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." It says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. He says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Which the glory is there, and now we are understanding. We are understanding the glory now. We finally get, as the apostle is in his place, he's beginning to explain to us about the glory. Before, we didn't understand what the glory was. We didn't understood that as pastors and evangelists and as teachers, that we thought we was operating basically by our faith, which is a good thing. We was operating by our anointing. But the thing is, now God say, when we were setting up this government, one of the things the Spirit of God say is, he say, "And the zeal of the Lord," Isaiah 9 and 6, he say, "And the zeal of the Lord shall perform this." God say, "I'm the one who's going to do this." And so if we're going to allow the zeal of the Lord to perform this, then God says, you're going to have to get yourself out of the way, not stand so much upon what you know, your faith, Even though God says, Hebrews 11:6, say, without faith it's impossible to please me. He that cometh to me must believe that I am, and that I reward them that diligently seek him. That's the faith part of it. And he said, without faith, we can't please him. He goes on and talk about the anointing. 1 John 2:20-27, that you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. That's the anointing. Every believer has that anointing. But there comes a time in every believer's life that we have to slide back once we see the glory of God shows up and allow the glory of God to show up. And then God said, my glory. Our definition of glory, all that God is, all that he has, and all that he can do. And so if we slide back and allow God to do what he can do, then we won't have to say, well, it didn't work. We know God's word is not going to return him void, but it's going to prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. And so if we slide back, then God's glory going to, and he said, what he said right here? He said, you won't know the glory that is will be revealed in you. That's because we're children of God, and we're allowing God not so much for us to do it, but for God to work through us as children. And so when he tells us to do something, and then that's if we do that, and then God say, my glory, I'm gonna fill the earth with my glory. God's earth, God said throughout the scripture, he said, I'm gonna fill the earth with my glory. But I'm gonna have to find some people who I can work through that I can get my glory into the earth realm. And that's what we're being trained for, so that God's glory can work his way through us and he can manifest his glory in the earth realm. Amen. Did I finish up Roman? Let me go back and look at it and make sure I covered all the areas in that. He says, for I reckon that the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared. Romans 8:18. For are worthy to be compared with the glory which should be revealed in us. Revealed in us. Not glory that we can actually see. We have to get a revelation of that glory flowing through us. And we have to know that God's presence is on the scene to do what he says he's going to do. Amen. God's desire, those who don't know him, to come into a relationship with him, where the primary emphasis is love and not merely service. See, we've gotten to the point in the body of Christ, we think because we are serving all the time that we know God. God said, I need some people who really know me. And service is not always the way that you get to know me. Jesus gave us a perfect example over in Luke chapter 10. They had those two sisters, Mary and Martha, Luke chapter 10. Look in the beginning at verse 10:38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. See, he's saying he's looking for individuals who would have come into a relationship of love and not just service. People who can say, you know, I love the Lord, not because I work in the ministry or not because I do things in the church, but I love the Lord, and I want him, I want to just fellowship with him without having to say I'm in service to him. So watch what happens here. And Jesus answered and said unto her, he said, Martha, Martha, he said, thou art careful and troubled about many things. He said, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So again, I make that statement again. God desires those who don't know him yet to come into a relationship with him where the primary emphasis is love and not merely service. We in the body of Christ. I can always talk about the body of Christ because I've been there. I've been in the body of Christ for a long time. And I've seen, you know, what happens. We think because we work in the church, we work in, we do things in church, that we have a love for God. But that's not the type of love God is talking about. That's service. And that's not that relationship God is looking for. And when we do a lot of service, we spend so much time serving, we forget to praise God and worship God and give him his praise that is due. Because why? We are serving so much. And because of the service itself gets in the way of our worshiping of God. And, you know, like I say, if any of us have been in church for any period of time, we basically have seen this happen where, you know, everything is about going to church and doing things in the church. I'm not saying that's wrong, but again, God is saying that he wants that relationship. He wants that love relationship. That's why Matthew 6:33 just pops up in that vein right now. And here God says, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he said, all those things shall be added unto you. So you're seeking God rather than seeking the serving part of God. We think we serve in church, then God's going to do this for us. And then we go to God, we ask, he said, well, I'm a good church member. But God says, seek me first in my right way of doing things. And my righteousness. And then he said, those things shall be added unto you. The body of Christ is being built up and equipped to become a glorious church. This is through this apostolic anointing. I'm giving you pointers under this apostolic anointing. What's happening now? And so we are being trained in operating under this apostolic anointing, that we can see God's presence, that we can see God's glory manifest itself. That, you know, I've been in church a long time, and the things that I've seen in scriptures, I always question. The prophets say, where are all these miracles? Where's these? I serve a big, awesome God. God created the heavens and the earth, created everything. But then, you know, these things that God say would happen in the Bibles, you never get a chance to see them. So it has to be something wrong in the way. And God is not a liar. Numbers 23:19 said God is not a liar. That, you know, if he said it, he will make it good. So it has to be on my part, something that I am doing wrong. And so if it's something happened, then if I'm doing it wrong, then I need to find out what I'm doing wrong so I can correct it and begin to see what God says is going to happen in his word. His word, again, his word is not, we're not returning void, but it shall prosper in the thing that he sent it forth to do. And how do we get it? How do we activate that word? By getting lined up with what God says and do it the way he tells us to do it and follow the Holy Spirit and then begin to see the manifestation of those signs and wonders that the Bible talks about. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at that verse. I begin at verse 26. This is the apostle again. And again, I always go back. As we see now, you know, we can go back and we can relate. We can see as we're being trained and we can being taught. And we begin to read these epistles that the apostle Paul wrote. And we can see he's what he's doing. He's training the church in every area, in the Corinthian church. He's teaching them about the gifts of the Spirit. He's teaching them about the Holy Spirit. And so all throughout Scripture, as we read these various epistles, we can see the Apostle Paul laying the foundation for the church. And as we follow the foundation, this is how we get God's glory to manifest. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, chapter 5, verse 26, he said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives. That's another part. But he was giving an example here as talking about wives and talking about the church. But what I want you to see is that he said he was going to present a glorious church. No matter what the condition of the world looks like, the church should be a glorious place. See, we know the world is getting darker. You know, and the people, the darkness is coming up on the people also. Isaiah 6:1-5 tells, turn over there right quick, and we're going back right back to this glorious church. Another one of those awesome scriptures that the Spirit of God began to minister to you on. And like I say, as he ministered to you on these passages of scriptures, and what you do, what I always do, I take scriptures for myself. As the Spirit of God began to minister through scriptures, it's like God himself is speaking to me personally. And so what we do, every time I come up that way, that's basically you get a revelation on what the Spirit of God is saying to you. It was just like Jesus over in the next 61. When he got his ministry, he said, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me. He found himself in the scripture. And so when he said that, when he read that scripture, he saw himself doing what the scripture said he can do. So we should be able to, when we read scripture, we should be able to become what that scripture says we are. Here in Isaiah chapter 6, looking at verse 1, and I read 1-5, it says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen up on thee. The glory of the Lord has risen up on you. That's you. And so you say, you take it for myself. The glory of the Lord is risen up on me. He goes on, verse 2, he says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise up on thee, and his glory shall be seen up on thee, upon you. So when you go out, the glory of God, you should be different. That's Acts 1:8. It says that you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. That means you're a witness. You become a witness to Jesus now. And so that glory of God should be seen upon you. You should be different. We should be different than the world system. And so when we walk out, people should see the difference on you. They should know that you are part of something different. You're saying, I'm part of the kingdom of God right now. And I operate totally different from what the world system operates. We are in a spiritual kingdom, not a natural kingdom. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So now your mind is being renewed. Your body is being renewed. Your spirit is already new. You got a brand new spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you got, your new creature now in the kingdom. We are new creatures in this kingdom. We're not old what we used to be. So we was changed. We was totally changed. But that was our spirit man that was changed, not our physical man. And so we put our body in submission to our spirit and with our mind. Our mind is being trained. And so here in verse 3, he said, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. He said, Gentiles, he said, the sinners. He said, sinners, when you show forth the glory of God that's upon you, many times you don't even have to go out and minister. They'll come to you. It said, the word of God said, they'll come to you. And when they come to you, we should have a word in our mouth for them of good, of this good gospel, this good news, and tell them so they also can come in and get the same thing that we got. He said, glory of God, the light has risen up on thee. He said, and then he's verse 4 said, lift up thine eyes around about and see all that they gather themselves. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from afar. Thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then shall thou see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. That's prosperity there. See, that's your prosperity. So, because the glory of God has risen up on you, these things, you don't even have to go after them anymore. These things come to you. So that's what. So you find yourself in the scripture. You say, okay, all right, Lord, that's who I am. So then as you get a revelation, the word of God says, our apostles have been telling us, everything that come in the kingdom has to come by revelation. If it does not come by revelation, you get no manifestation of those things that we see. And it has to be revealed to you. And if it's not revealed to us, then it becomes just words on the page. So you have to be revealed. And if we can get God to reveal, we can get it. It's easy to do. Word of God tells Romans, Joshua 1:8, what did he say? He said, this book of the law should not depart out of our mouth, or out of our eyes, but we should meditate in them day and night. And then we make our way prosperous, and then we have good success. Good success. And see, good success means that when I'm acting God for, what I'm seeking God for, then I can receive that of myself. And so then, there is again over in Psalm 1:1. It just keep popping up all over the place. See, and God said, everything that I'm gonna do for you, everything that that I provided for you has already been provided for you, and it's up to you. You know, God said, it ain't on me, it's on you. And if something is not working, then I hear people say, the word don't work for me. They have not got a revelation of the goodness of God and the word of God and what it do for you. And so once you understand, once the Spirit of God reveals this to you, then you can go out. Anything in the kingdom, anything that the kingdom has to provide is already, Jesus said in John 17, he said, it is finished. And so if that's because it's finished, then all we have to do is come into agreement with that finished work. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Holy Spirit brought up a scripture here. I may have seen it before we brought it up again, but I need you to see it. Romans chapter 5, looking at verse 17, and here it is again, the Spirit of God is saying, he says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. He's talking about Adam. When Adam sinned, he says, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So that go back to where we started off with that dominion that God gave us from the beginning. Then he brought it back through Jesus Christ. Adam gave it up, but Jesus, through Jesus Christ, he said the abundance of grace. And grace means that I got a free gift. Ephesians 2:8 say you're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of yourself. It is a gift of God. God gave us this free gift of grace, his favor, his unmerited favor. We didn't have to do anything to earn it. Jesus did everything for us. He's already done it for us. So he said, all we have to do is receive it. And he said, and that gift of righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he says that he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for me, that I may be made the righteousness of God in him. So I am the righteousness of God. So all I have to do is receive that. Another one. Make that 2 Corinthians 5:21 your meditation scripture for this particular class. And so, and again, he said, they that which receive, and like I say, it's not going out trying to hustle for it All you have to do is already provided for you. So all we have to do is receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And so as this apostolic anointing continues to flow, continue to grow, continue to build. Like I say, God is building himself a glorious, victorious bride in the church. And the church also should be creating a global impact awakening. The church, you know, when people see the church, you know, I see these comedy shows and everybody is making fun of the church. Why? Because the church looks just like the world. So we shouldn't look like the world. We should have something different, totally different than what the world system. And so they get in and they make fun of the pastors, how they preach, and you know, they got I think reality shows with pastors on and things like that, which it was basically is making fun of the church. And one of the things God said, touch not my anointing. So, you know, they have to be aware, beware of what they're doing. And it goes on to say, successive generations must be equipped to carry out and demonstrate kingdom revelation. So we have to be able to, first of all, do it ourselves. And then we have to pass it on to the next generation. Just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham passed on his legacy onto his sons. And so we have to be able to, just like they did, pass that legacy on. So we have to be able to do these things. We can't just say we're in the kingdom and serving God and nothing has happened. We have to be able to show forth these signs, these wonders, these supernatural activity. We should be able to go in and create, just like God created. The word of God said, even God calleth those things that be not as though they were. So when you get in a situation, we can speak the situation. That's because that's the dominion that God has given us in the kingdom. Amen. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord God. Father God, we thank you that you've given us words and they've not just been planted in our spirits, Father God. And we are no longer just hearers of your word, but we have now become doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.